Okay, let's take our Bibles, turn to the first book of the Bible. It'll be easy to find, the book of Genesis, and find chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We are still near the beginning of 2019, so I don't know how many of your New Year's resolutions are still intact. Maybe not too many. Some of you may have given up on that a long time ago. But what is it that you wake up every day? What gets you out of bed? What do you think about each day in terms of this is what I want to accomplish today? Most of us, at least during a day, know the things that we need to do or check off the list. We have some goals or resolutions, even if we may not call them that. What do you hope that your life will look like a year from now, at this time in 2020? You thought about that? Has a lot to do with what you think about today and what you hope to accomplish today. One of my favorite true stories took place in the 80s in California in the life of a guy named Larry Walters. Perhaps you've heard the story before. He was 33 years old at the time. He claimed later that what he became famous for on that particular day was something he had dreamed about all of his life. He had been spending his weekends in Los Angeles backyard, south of the Los Angeles airport, and just kind of hanging out, drinking, hanging out with his friends, just kind of looking around the neighborhood. And he decided on one particular day he was going to fulfill what he had thought was a lifelong dream, a resolution, a goal of his. He really wanted to see more from an aerial view what the neighborhood looked like. So he had been sitting in his lawn chair every day, just kind of looking around. He decided to go out and buy 45 big weather balloons, a huge tank of helium, and some rope. He secured his lawn chair to the roof of his house, but before liftoff, he made sure that he grabbed his BB gun. Now, before he was ready to lift off and take a better look at the neighborhood, a gust of wind came and actually broke the rope and took him up quicker, more quickly than he had expected. Now, his hope, his goal, was maybe to go about 100 feet in the air and just kind of take a look at the neighborhood. But instead, he went much higher than that. In fact, we know that he went about 16,000 feet in the air. And the reason we know that is because two airplanes saw him in his lawn chair with the weather balloons up in the air. And they contacted the LA International Airport, and I don't know exactly how they described what they saw. Now, he had the presence of mind to be able to take his BB gun and shoot some of the weather balloons and had a safe landing. Now, you can imagine that there were several people who wanted to talk to Larry after he got down, including local authorities. And the television reporters were there, and they asked him a few questions. They first asked him if he was scared. He said, no, not really. They asked him, are you going to try this again? He said, no. And when they asked, why in the world would you do this in the first place? His answer was, well, you just can't sit there. And he did share later, in fact, he had some interviews on some late night talk shows. He shared that this was one of his goals. So if you don't have any New Year's resolutions or goals for this year, I thought I'd add something to your list. Most of us wouldn't try something like that. But there's a phrase in Scripture that I want you to see this morning that when I looked at this phrase, I thought that even for those of us who maybe our resolutions are long gone already in 2019, that it gives us something not really just to shoot for in 2019 or maybe in the months or years to come, but I really see it as an everyday goal. It's a goal that you can approach regardless of what things you want to accomplish this year in your life, that you can approach this every day. And if you approach this goal every single day, you will be exactly where God wants you to be. You will be accomplishing exactly what God has planned for your life. We come to Genesis chapter 5, and if you take a quick look at Genesis 5, it probably would hit you as one of those chapters that you just might skip over. Because in Genesis 5, you have a lot of names that are hard to pronounce. And one of those things in the scriptures, if you've read through the Bible before, you know you hit these a lot in the first several books of the Bible, genealogies. And it's hard to spend any time in devotions in chapters like this or to really take much time at all to consider it. And we can understand why. There's a phrase that gives us kind of a structure for the things that we read here in Genesis. And it's the phrase translated an account of or a generations of. And we have one of these in chapter 2, verse 4 that says it's an account of the heavens and the earth. And we read about, of course, before that, about creation. We read about the fall of man. We read about the consequences of those sins, including murder in the first family. Here in chapter 5, verse 1, we have the account of Adam's family line. And this goes through chapter 6 and verse 8. So there is a cycle. If you've read this before, if you look through this quickly, there's a cycle that you have that's pretty easy to follow. You have the name of a person who's born to someone. You have that they lived a certain number of years. You have that they had kids. And then you have that they die. And that's kind of a cycle that we see throughout. So let's begin in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the written account of Adam's family line. When God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. And he named them mankind when they were created. So chapter 5 takes us back to the beginning, specifically reminding us that all of mankind, men and women, were made in the likeness of God. Commentators Walvoord and Zuck wrote this, I think we have it up here for you. Being in God's image means that humans share, though imperfectly and finitely, in God's nature, that is, in his what's called communicable attributes, such as life, personality, truth, wisdom, love, holiness, and justice. And so we have the capacity for spiritual fellowship with him. So it's important to understand at the beginning, made in the likeness of God gives us this special connection with him, and everyone's made in that likeness. So he creates them male and female by his own design, and names them here in the NIV mankind. The Hebrew word translated is where we get the proper name Adam that comes from. So we all come from Adam. We're made in the image of God. In fact, here in verse 2, we're reminded God's blessing was on mankind in the beginning. But the rest of chapter 5, or at least most of it, is a grave reminder of the consequence of sin. That even after life, and even after all of these special blessings that you can have in life, there always comes death. And in between life and death, there's some enjoyment and there's family. But there's death because of sin. So let's continue here then in the story of Adam. Let's continue in verse 3. When Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. After Seth was born, Adam lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then he died. So we have the first man here, Adam, passing on his likeness and the image of God to his son, Seth. Now, we know in many cases there's physical similarities to parents that are passed down. Here we're told how old Adam was when he named Seth, how long he lived after that, including having other sons and daughters, and at the ripe old age of 930, hard for us to understand that today, he died. So the genealogy here in chapter 5 gives us the connection between Adam and his culture and Noah in chapter 6 and his culture. There's a common way that God led Moses to write about all of this. And it reminds us of the cycle of life that comes as a result of sin. In the midst of that cycle are many blessings. So I'd like you to track with me for a moment. I'm going to mention some verses and just let your eyes kind of go down to these verses to see the things that happen that are all the same pretty much in this cycle. And I want you to notice then the final words, and I'm actually going to have you say the final phrase with me to remind us of the end of each of these lives. So verse 5, we already looked at this. Adam lived so many years. He had a son, lived some more, had sons and daughters, lived some more. Then look at verse 5. Altogether, Adam lived a total of 930 years, and then, what does it say? He died. Okay, we're going to see that more. Verses 6 to 8, Seth, his son, lived so many years, had sons and daughters, lived some more, 912 years in all, and then he died, right? Verses 9 to 11, Enosh lived, had a son, lived some more, had sons and daughters, and then he died. Verses 12 to 14, Kenan lived, had a son, lived some more, having sons and daughters, and then he died. It continues, verses 15 to 17, Mahalaleel had a son, lived some more, having other sons and daughters, and then he died. Verses 18 to 20, Jared had a son, lived some more, having other sons and daughters, and then he died. Verses 25 to 27, Methuselah had a son, lived some, had other sons and daughters. He lived some more. In fact, he lived longer than anyone ever, 969 years. Now, you may have noticed in the genealogy here in chapter 5 that age is usually mentioned. They seem to live quite a long time. Longer lives allowed for more children to be born as man worked to fill the earth, as God had commanded Adam and Eve. But guess what? No matter how long each of these lived, no matter how many sons and daughters they had, no matter how many enjoyments they might have had in between, it always ends the same way. Now, sometimes we look at something like this in our mindset and we think, Methuselah lived the longest. How can I do that? And so we want to know, what was his diet regimen? What was his exercise regimen? How did he do that? A lot of times we're really concerned about how do I live longer and any kind of tips that I can have. I want to make my life longer. But no matter how long you live, and none of you are going to live to 900, it still ends as a result and the consequence of sin in death. We're going to think about what do we do in between. So verse 27, all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and then he died. Yep. Verses 28 to 31, Lamech had a son, lived a while, had other sons and daughters, and then he died too. So you get the point. You got it a long time ago, right? There's life, there's death, there's some enjoyment in between. Is there anything more than that? There is. There's something very important that comes in between that we need to consider today. Again, when we come to the genealogies of the Bible, sometimes we just skip them and all those difficult names. This guy lived this many years. He had children. He lived some more. Blah, blah, blah. Just being honest, right? I mean, we don't want to say that about the Bible, but we just kind of, we're honest with that when you tell me how hard it is to read through these genealogies. But what if we believed, truly believed, in what 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tell us about all of Scripture? At the time is written, referring to the Old Testament, that all Scripture, even Genesis 5, even the genealogies, are breathed out by God and are profitable for our lives, for spiritual growth. How can a genealogy be profitable? Well, one of the ways it can be, and one of the things you may or may not know when you read through a genealogy to look for is a break in the cycle. You have the cycle, just kind of keeps going, kind of lulls us asleep. But if something happens that's different, if there's a break in the cycle, pay close attention to that. Because that may be the thing that God may want you to concentrate on. And we have that in chapter 5. So I want us to take a little longer look this morning at something that sometimes we might just gloss over that happens here in between the living and dying part for one of these particular names that's mentioned. So let's come back in here to verses 18 to 20. When Jared lived 162 years, he became the father of Enoch. And after he became the father of Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Jared lived a total of 962 years, and then he died. Chapter 5, verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. Okay, we've heard this before. We've already looked at Methuselah. Verse 22, after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked faithfully with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Verse 23, altogether, Enoch lived a total of 365 years. And here we go, verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God and then... Right, you're looking at your scriptures. Or you already know the story. Good. Right. There's a break here, right? Something different just happened than has happened with all these other people mentioned. What did that say again? Verse 24. Enoch faithfully walked with God, and he was no more because God took him away. I think God's trying to get our attention and saying to us, look at this, notice this, pay attention. Don't miss this because there's something I want you to consider. Enoch walked faithfully with God, then he was no more because God took him away. Part of the reason we're to pay attention to what's going on here with Enoch is because Moses tells us as he writes Genesis that everyone physically died. And chapter 5, full of living and dying, but not with Enoch. So this was not, you know, magic. That this was something that God did. God took him. He didn't just hide from everyone and then appear later. He was gone because God just took him. He did not die like everyone else has died. So let's not get distracted by the fact that he didn't die. Try to figure all that out. We can go down a lot of rabbit trails considering what happened. But I think if we go that way and down all of those trails, we'll miss really the simple thing that we're supposed to recognize about Enoch. So we have a phrase that first breaks this cycle. Again, verse 24, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Now, we also saw back in verse 22, Enoch walked faithfully with God for 300 years. And then it's pretty cool to read, God just took him. After we read all, everybody living and having sons and daughters and dying, God took him. It happens to Elijah later in the Bible. It would happen to those of us who are followers of Jesus if we're still here when Jesus returns. We'll be gone. Like that. But what do we do with this passage of Scripture, as genealogy, in the Old Testament, as it relates to application? How do we apply this? I mean, it's not about how do we disappear, or even looking at the future things and what that's going to be like when we're gone. What is it that we're supposed to learn? And I think it's this phrase, that Enoch walked faithfully with God. This is not an often used phrase in the Bible. From what I can tell, it's only used of one other person, and that's in chapter 6 of Noah. So this is a pretty unique thing. So if it's this unique in Scripture, then maybe we should pay attention to it, consider it. Would God say that about you right now if you were gone? If this were your last day on earth, is that what others who know you well would be able to say? He, she walked faithfully with God. This is not a perfect person. Enoch was not perfect. Enoch had the sinful nature like everyone else. He sinned, but this is what he was known for. This is an everyday goal. I want to consider it with you a little bit further here in God's Word. So in the New Testament, the idea of walking with God is kind of translated into our relationship with God. What kind of relationship do we have with Him? How do we, in this spiritual journey, take our next steps and walk faithfully with Him? We see elsewhere the command to walk with God. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Micah 6:8. It says, He has shown you, O man or O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. He sums it up just in those few simple things. That's God's New Year's resolution for you. This is his life resolution for you. This is his everyday goal for you, to walk humbly with him. All right, now I'd like you to take your Bible and turn toward the end of the Bible, New Testament, book of Hebrews, chapter 11. If you're using a Bible in front of you, it's page 1211. Hebrews, chapter 11. If you'd like to take notes and follow along this morning, we're going to look at a few ways the Scripture tells us, based on Enoch's example, how to walk faithfully with God. And there is an outline there in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. So let's begin with this one. To walk faithfully with God is to, number one, spend time with God in prayer and his word. I don't think there's any question that Enoch had great communication with God. We're not told the details, really, about their communication, but some of the things we learn about Enoch, including that he walked faithfully with God, gives us the impression that he had a great relationship with him. He lived faithfully. He spent time with him, hearing from God, communicating with him. I think we can also make this deduction because of what we see earlier in the Bible, in the beginning of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve, that they would normally walk with God in the cool of the day, as it said. And then when they sinned, that made a difference. He spent time with him. Even if you look at guys like King David, who was a man after God's own heart, you see incredible communication with God. He shares a lot about what he's written about his relationship with God. He talks to God directly and hears from him. And Noah, the other person in Scripture who is said to have walked with God, had this relationship with God that was very personable and meaningful. But our emphasis today is, how do we walk with God? If we want that said about us when this life is over, that he or she walked faithfully with God, what does that look like? Well, there's a couple of things, I think, where we can start, where we know from the whole of Scripture how you have this relationship with God. The first is through prayer. This is how we talk to God. We have a sovereign, all-knowing God who wants you to still talk to him. Yes, he can read your mind, he can read your heart, but he says, I want you to talk to me, called prayer. I want you to communicate with me. And there's several things in the Scripture that we are to communicate with God about. A few weeks ago, we were talking, I believe it was about the Lord's Prayer, and shared about one of the resources we have that's back in the hallway, in the Next Steps wall. An acrostic called CAST that just reminds us of some of the basics the Scriptures talk about, especially for those who feel like, okay, I want to communicate with God, I want to pray, I really don't know how to. It begins with C, confession. That's a good place to start rather than just jumping in and saying, okay, God, this is what I want you to do for me today. To say, God, I know that I have sinned and here are my sins. And we know that he forgives us right away. A stands for adoration. We lift him up like we do in our singing. We lift him up in our prayers to recognize the qualities of God, the character of God. It's because of the character of God that he forgives us. S is supplication. We're asking him to do things on our behalf. We're asking him to do things on the behalf of others, physical things as well as spiritual things. And finally, T is thanksgiving. We remember to thank him for all that he has already done, all that he has already provided for us. That's just an example. But as you read through prayers in Scripture, as you look at all of Scripture, one of the things you're going to have to do on a regular basis, one of the ways to have a relationship with God where you can be called someone who walked faithfully with him, is prayer. To take that time, like the most important relationships, your human relationships, you take the time to communicate through prayer. The second is through Bible study. primary way that God has communicated to us is through his word. He has given us his revelation that he wants us to know about him. He wants us to know about ourselves, the things he does want us to know about our future, and what he really wants us to focus on today. There are all kinds of resources, certainly for studying God's word. Hopefully you have found some. There's good Bible studies out there that you can join. There's good Bible study resources. There's different translations of the Bible. There's lots of ways to study the scripture. But it's just a matter of, am I going to take the time to do that, to hear from God, to learn of who he is and what he wants for my life? One of the challenges I'm taking this year, that I believe is also in the bulletin that I'm encouraging any of you to do, is to read through Proverbs, to read a proverb each day as it associates to the day of the week. So today is February 10th, so I read Proverbs 10 this morning. And just to focus on God's word so that that day I'm talking to God, I'm communicating with him, I'm hearing from him, and my goal today is to walk faithfully with God. So that tomorrow I will walk faithfully with God. So that when this short life is over, God will hopefully be able to say that of me as well as he did of Enoch. All right, well, this passage in Genesis 5 that we just looked at is not the only one in Scripture that talks about Enoch. We're here in Hebrews 11. If you know anything about Hebrews 11, some people call this the Hall of Faith. It's about faith. There's a lot of names here of people and a little bit of their story. But I want you to see where we see Enoch. Let's look at verse 5, Hebrews 11, 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. That's what he was known for. So let's write this down. To walk faithfully with God is to, number two, please God through faithful obedience. Let's think about that for a few moments. Please God through faithful obedience. I like that in Genesis 5, an international version translates this word, walk faithfully. It describes what it really means, I think, to please God, to walk with him. But we cannot leave out what we read here in Hebrews 11. Because you cannot please God without what Hebrews 11, 6 says. The very next verse. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Enoch was a man of faith. His life contrasted with most of those who lived in that time. Just before the mention of Enoch in Genesis, the disease of sin had spread throughout humankind and would come to every person who would ever be conceived. That led to failure throughout the generations. It led to murder. It led to a distortion of the sanctity of marriage. It led to all kinds of sins that we still experience today. But here, Enoch, commended by God, is a man who walked with him. So if you're going to walk with him, you have to learn to please him. If you're going to please him, you have to be a man or woman of faith. That includes then believing what God has said about himself, trusting in the way and the path that God has laid out for us, trusting that what he allows in our lives is good because it's going to make us more like his son. And by faith, we walk with him. By faith, we accept things in the scriptures that I cannot explain and my brain cannot comprehend or fully understand. So by faith, I accept his word as true. And that includes, then, my obedience. Will I, by faith, do what he has asked me to do? And that's what Enoch did. And that's why it was said of him that he pleased God, that he walked faithfully with God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe that what the scriptures say and what Jesus said about himself, that he is the only way to God, that you must place all of your faith and trust in him? Do you believe in God's word, even if you can't fully understand it? Do you believe that God exists, even though you cannot see him? Are you willing to place your faith and trust in him? Are you willing to hear from him and to obey him, even if it's really difficult, even if you don't want to do what he's asking you to do? That's what it looks like to please God. That's what it looks like to walk faithfully with him. You cannot separate faith from faithfulness. It's not just saying, I believe. God was always more concerned. Jesus was always more concerned with, okay, you say you believe. You say you want to go to heaven. You say that you're a follower. So follow. Do what I've asked you to do. Let's turn to one more passage of Scripture. Just turn right, go towards the end. In fact, if you want to go to Revelation, that'll be the easiest one to find. And then come back one book. It's only one chapter, so sometimes it's easy to miss. The book of Jude, page 1234 in the Bible in front of you. There's one more observation I'd like to make about Enoch as it relates to walking with him. All right, are you there? The book of Jude. Verse 14. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Besides being a book that's so small that we might miss it, one of the other reasons maybe we don't spend much time in Jude is because it's really about those who are not walking with God and the coming judgment. But I think it's significant that Enoch appears here. That a part of this prophecy is that Enoch was used to speak God's truth. So we're not here to break down this prophecy in Jude, but to notice that Enoch here takes on the duties of a prophet. He speaks of the future coming of the Lord to come in judgment of all of those who are wicked. And he speaks of what they are doing. So it reminds us of something that God has asked all of us to do if we're going to walk faithfully with him. Here's number three. Talk about God and our relationship to him. Talk about God and our relationship to him. Now, Enoch gave a very specific prophecy that God had given him about the coming of the Lord and the judgment that was coming on non-believers. There would be a time when everyone would be accountable for how they lived their lives. So we might not express it in the same way that Enoch did. God may not give us specific words of prophecy to share. But we are, all of us, who walk faithfully with God, expected to talk about God and to talk about God's relationship that he can have with others and his expectations that he has. Those who walk with God talk about him. Those who walk with God are willing to tell others how they can walk with God. Those who walk with God through faithful obedience are going to share the truth about what happens when we decide to reject God and his word. If you're walking with God in faithful obedience, you're going to be truthful about what it means to walk with him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Colossians 4, 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. These are a couple examples of the idea that we're not just living this life on our own, secluded from the world. We're actually in the world so that we can be a light, so that we can show people what it looks like to live a life imperfect, but faithful to God, so that we can share with them how they can do the same, what it means to have a relationship with Him. On your outline, you see number four. You can ignore that number because that's not another point here. But what I want you to notice is the statement there. Blank walked faithfully with God. They said, well, Enoch walked faithfully with God. Noah walked faithfully with God. All those in Hebrews 11, David walked faithfully with God. But here's what I want you to think about today and through this week. And I'd like you to do something. If you have a piece of paper, if you have your outline there, I'd like you to do this with me, even if you're not sure you can say this right now. But as a goal, as a resolution, as an everyday goal that can begin today, would you write your name in the blank? For me, it'd be Greg, walked faithfully with God. Go ahead, write your name in there, or imagine that I walked faithfully with God. That could be said of you by God, who knows the truth of our hearts. That could be said of you by others who know you the best when this life is over. But that can begin today. At the end of today, you can say that you walked faithfully with God. You're worshiping Him. You talk to Him. You hear from His word. You desire to follow it. You confess your sins. You're doing the things that you know He wants you to do. And then tomorrow, that's your goal tomorrow. And the next day, your goal the next day. Because as you do that each day, it turns into a life of walking with God. And it begins with your next step. What's the next thing you need to do? Probably only you and God know what it is He wants you to pursue. Maybe go back through these notes of the three things we learned about Enoch. Look through the three things that can help us understand what it means to walk with God faithfully today. And just ask God, God, what's my next step so that that can be known of me today? That I walked faithfully with You. Just remain seated for a moment. Spend this time to pray and maybe to consider what that next step is. You may even want to write it down if God brings it to your mind. I'll ask the worship team to come to prepare to lead us in our final song. But just take a moment. Maybe first just pray and tell God that this is your goal. And then ask Him to reveal to you, what is the next step? What's my first step to be able to be known as one who walks with God?